This is Insight live on Cap Radio. I'm Beth Ruriak. Sacramento hip-hop artist and activist Poor Majesty will release a new album, Dreamer, at the end of this month. A single from that album, titled SOS, addresses police violence against unarmed people of color. Poor Majesty, along with artists Mahdi Bush and Gnome Nomad, who are also featured in the song, talked with Nick Bruner recently. So to begin the conversation, here's Poor Majesty on why he felt compelled to write this song.
I think for me, writing SOS wasn't necessarily trying to convince anybody of anything. I think I'm coming from a perspective of, you already know what it is. And at this point, you should already know what it is too. I'm not trying to educate anymore. I'm not like 60% of this and that. Like, you already know what it is. So I'm just trying to convey is the heartache and the pain. I wrote it because I was heartbroken about Philando Castillo.
It broke my heart to hear Philando's daughter crying in the backseat, watching her father dying. I ain't lying when I say the police. We gon' get free and we gon' die trying. Can't you relate being hunted by hate with they life in your hands and they holding your fate? You could comply and not try to escape, but if they pull the trigger, it's just a mistake. No, that's not intelligent. Look at this elephant. I'm not irrelevant. My life is heaven sent. All your malevolent deeds are a detriment to this environment. Even the president has a mountain of evidence tying him to some that y'all is cool with. But if Stephon run, Stephon get a full clip.
Same old.
Yeah, same old. Yeah, I can hear that. Pain and frustration. Can you tell me about your own experiences, if any, that you have that you draw from personally that go into SOS?
Yeah. When I was about 7 years old, this is actually like one of my first interactions with the police. My mother was having some friends over. It was maybe like 9:30, and it was her, my cousin, who's about the same age as my mom, a few guys. They were having some drinks. Music was on. They were just in the apartment having a good time. We're in the house with these people, and it's not like they're doing a bunch of drugs or doing anything wild. The police come knocking on the door saying, hey, there's a noise complaint. You need to turn it down, right? So what my mom does, she, whatever, you know, all right, we'll turn it down. Closes the door, turns it up. My mom is a rebel, and I love her for that. So she turns it up. Now, I know it might be annoying or frustrating for them to have their authority challenged like that, but their reaction to that, they storm up the stairs, kicking the door, dragging her out, macing all of us. And I don't know if you know what it's like to be in a room where mace is sprayed, but the whole room is a cloud of mace. So essentially they maced all of us. Started dragging the dudes down the stairs. These are concrete stairs. And again, I'm watching all this, grabbing my mom, dragging her down the stairs, beating them up in the front lawn in front of us. About four or five police officers. They arrest the dudes, and then nothing happened. It was just, how dare you defy us and our authority?
Mahdi, you have been a very outspoken critic of the police through so many of your tracks. What personal experience brought you to SOS?
Poor, he had asked me to get on a track, and he told me what the subject matter was, and I felt like it's not really like rocket science. We all see it. I mean, it's so ridiculous. It's been happening forever, and now we can go to YouTube and see Oscar Grant get shot in his back. We're almost like it's a normal thing now. And it's only becoming more normal. So it was easy to write. My own personal experiences with police and foster care and all that stuff. Like, yeah, of course I went on this track. Like, yeah.
All they gonna get is some paid time off, come back and work a desk job like nothing's wrong. And the DA's always being paid by the KKK. They just named it a different way. Shoot us in the back, tell them we tried to attack. Cell phone in my hand, I don't carry gats. With the Uncle Tom trying to calm us down for burning this into the ground like right now. Throw us in a paddy wagon so I can't leave. Illegal chokehold so I can't breathe. Got the nerve to say we on the same team. Blue lives matter than you quote Martin Luther King.
I wanted Monty to be on the track because when we are out there on the front lines protesting, and Monty's always had something to say, you know what I mean? So it was just right to have him on the song as a representation and part of our crew. I knew he would do it justice and speak his mind and not be afraid. Man, this guy is not afraid to say whatever.
And Noam, how about you?
You know, he hit me up for this song. It hit home right away. I remember the first time I ever got encountered with the police in racism. I had just turned 18 that summer, and my friend's dad had got a brand new Eldorado Coupe de Ville, and he let us take it out, and we're out in Roseville. It was like five of us. So it got tricky because it's two black guys, two white guys, and a Mexican guy. You know, we all played baseball together. There was a car right in front of us. We're going to the 7-Eleven. The car in front of us just turns in. You know, we kind of hit the brakes a little bit. I'm like, dude, the cops are behind us. My Caucasian friend, he was the one driving. He gets kind of nervous and he turns his blinker on, but as he turns his blinker on, he starts turning too. The cops immediately pull in, they hit their lights and stuff like that. I'm like, all right, well, just be cool. Like, I mean, the car in front of us didn't signal. Just tell them that you got frightened a little bit. You know, we've never been pulled over by the police before. None of us. So anyways, the cop, he walks over to the window and he's like, can I see your ID? You guys look a little young to be riding around in a, you know, a brand new Eldorado and stuff. I don't even have one of these. Okay. Yeah, all right. That's cool. I see where this is going already.
And he asked you this because of not using your blinker?
Right.
Really?
Because he didn't signal.
Okay.
But the car in front of us, let alone, they were in the same parking lot. He never said anything to the people in the other car. Never even bothered. We're like, well, that guy was a guy that didn't signal. That was the reason why we kind of, he punched the brakes a little bit because he was like, he just turned.
Hey, please, Mr. Officer, may I win a word with you? I'll do anything you ask, don't shoot. What? My hands are in my pockets, as you can see, they clearly in the air. Please alert your fellow sniper on the roof. Hey. My mama told me pick and choose your battles more wisely. Cops fight fair, no, a lot of them are grimy. Shoot you with your back, turn the alley where they find him. Why you pull me over, would you like to see my ID? Sure. And if I have a current registration, but the tags ain't bad. Cause he threatened, so he hit me with a nine-piece. John Lee stabbed me at a bar train station. Can somebody tell me why? Please remind me. Love, peace, and blessings to the families of pain. Though LeVar Burton reading made us all believe in rainbows. Zimmerman's a bitch, I hope it shouldn't go ashamed of him. Treat him like our ancestors, let a devil hang, no. So,
my fellow citizenry, that feels.
Anyways, long story short, he asks for all our IDs, has us sitting on the curb, sends my friend that's driving the car back to the car. Then he talks to his friend a little bit for a while, like pulls him to the side, and then he puts him in the car. So it's just me, my Mexican friend, and it was actually my little brother. And we're like, you sent everybody else to the car, why not us? We weren't even driving, you know? And he's like, well, we're just trying to make sure, you know, because we had some kids around the area earlier that day, and they broke into some homes. We're making sure you guys aren't just out here because you guys don't live in this area. We're looking at your IDs. You guys live in the South area. I'm like, yeah, we lived in the hood and stuff like that, but you could ask anybody in my remote area during that time. We were athletes. We weren't thugs. You know, so this track was kind of like, I'm like, I like to get into stuff, but I don't like to get too deep into stuff because I really don't have much of a filter. And I don't want people to think of me like I'm an angry person or anything like that. I mean, but if you ask them, I'll tell you.
No, it's not necessarily about anger. It's about shedding a light on injustice. You know what I'm saying? Shedding a light on oppression and fighting against that with your words and you know, rebelling against it with people who are like-minded. I do music like this all the time for people that feel this way because there isn't a lot of representation for this. A lot of people, you know, want to make party music because it sells, or a lot of people want to make dancing music or you know, spiritual music because they're spiritual. I'm doing this because I feel like there's a voice that's super underrepresented that has these tones of racial oppression in it. In hip hop, which is extremely weird, we have Public Enemy, but just think of like all the things they had to go through.
The closest thing you probably get to that now is J. Cole and Kendrick.
Yeah. Which shows something. It shows that there is a large audience for this type of music. Yeah. It just shows how suppressed it is. Like the people in the record industry don't want to hear you talking about empowering yourself. It doesn't even have to be about oppression. It can be about elevating yourself and loving yourself. And to them, that is seen as like hate speech. You know what I mean? So yeah. I want to talk to those people that want to hear this type of music.
Are there other artists in your circle who you'd like to see have more attention, who produce music like that you're describing? And who are they?
Brazy's one who goes extremely hard with the message. There's a ton. Paul Willis is another one that stinks out in my mind. You know, people from our crew, TPR, all of us, we've always been on this message and on target with this. There's all kinds of other factions, but there's a lot of people in this area and all over California that I would say that makes this type of music, Digital Martyrs, you know, that rebel music.
So back to SOS for a minute, Adrian, with the refrain in the track being the phrase, same old shit, how optimistic are you of any kind of positive change that you want to see in the way policing is done?
It's hard to say because I think there is willful ignorance of the issue and of the situation. You can be friends with somebody and you know, they can tell you, oh man, like, I don't mess with the police because of X, Y, and Z, and or, oh man, this cashier was super racist. And they always give you excuses like, well, maybe they were having a bad day, or come on, that's not how it is. But the thing is they don't know what it's like to be in our shoes and to deal with casual racism. It's extremely passive, and it's everywhere. And people think because I'm not wearing a white hood, I'm not a racist. But the thing with racism in this country, it's like a mental illness that people, they don't know that it's there. It's very, very underlevel submerged consciousness of racism and bias. But so as far, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to go way roundabout. But what I'm saying is my optimism of that changing here has to depend on us as a people. Like, are we going to put the education out there? Are we going to do the work to help bring people in? Because what changes that is bringing people in so they can see what it's like to be us, and instead of the seclusion. Because the more they don't know, the more they can just tell their children other things like, oh, these people are this way. But once we start integrating and educating the youth and educating people, older people as well, I think then we'll have change. But as far as optimism, I don't know, because they're trying to take slavery out of textbooks. So there's a constant fight here.
I also feel like just because you put a black police officer in front of me doesn't mean that, like, he speaks directly to me.
Yeah.
Sorry. That's cosmetic. That doesn't mean anything to me, because I feel like unless you're talking to the community and you're willing to, like, sit down and be like, all right, so here's what it is. These are the rules. I'm willing to work with you guys.
Right. And racism isn't just one thing. It's not just all white people. No. I can tell you right now that there is black racist people that I had in my family. I had people in my family tell me I was going to be nothing but a dope dealer. I had people in my family telling me I was going to get shot and I ain't nothing but a thug, and because I dressed a certain way or wanted to play basketball. So this is conditioning that has been happening in America for a long time. And until we can unlearn that, uneducate ourselves on that, then I don't have hope for change.
And Adrian, when you're not making music, aren't you a banker?
Yes. I mean, I kind of try to keep my music life and then my personal life completely separate. You know, because I don't want, you know what I mean?
It's like, hard. It's different.
Because the way that this world works now is like somebody will hear this and be like, I totally disagree. Let's call his job and get him fired. And what I'm saying is not wrong. I'm not making things up. But just talking like this, this is how oppressive it is, just talking like this.
And it's funny. I'm sorry. I don't mean to backtrack. But I want to go back to that casual racism. That's huge. And you'd be surprised, like, how people, like, a lot of times they don't even know that they're being racist. You know, but somebody will say something and you'll be like, that was kind of racist. But they have us desensitized to now. It's almost like we're programmed to where it's like, we probably shouldn't speak on it because then they're going to call us being petty. You know, a lot of people will refer to, oh, black people are super petty, or they're really sensitive. Why are you being so sensitive? You know, what do you mean why am I being so sensitive?
That sounds wildly frustrating. And I'm so curious about your presence of mind when you do experience that casual racism. Do you have the stamina to address it at the time it happens?
Yes. You know what? I give it back the same way it's given. Okay. And a lot of times, like, I'll do things, like, I'll say stuff sometimes. I mean, it's serious. And then a lot of times it's not really that bad, but I just like people to feel how I feel at that time. So, okay, you make me feel uncomfortable. I'm going to say something to make you feel uncomfortable in a professional way. They're expecting us to just act out in anger, you know, because that's the perception that, you know, society has given us for so long. So they think we're all just angry black men and stuff like that. No, that's not true.
Does it ever spark, like, a good dialogue with the person you're talking with? Do you ever get to an understanding with people?
That's how I became friends with a lot of people, you know, a lot of people, because they'll be like, and I'll be like, man, it's okay, you can laugh. This is how you learn what kind of person you're dealing with, like, right away.
Monty, is there anything that you see in the community in the last several years, especially since the police shooting of Stephon Clark, that gives you hope?
I mean, this, what we're doing right now, this would be about as close as it's going to get, is open dialogue. I don't know. You look at the comments on, like, Channel 3's
KCRA,
Facebook.
Yeah. Horrible.
And you see all these comments down the line. These are the same people that you probably walk in front of and don't even realize it. And they don't even realize it's you. And they have these racist, like, just things that they feel or say or whatever. And you're like, damn, this is where I live. I'm not even talking about, like, what it's like in the Midwest or in the South. My next door neighbor might be like this.
I think there's a lot, like I said, a lot of willful ignorance. A lot of these people will tell you to your face, I'm not racist, but then as soon as they have anonymity and they get behind a computer screen, then it's all out.
Yeah, oh yeah.
All out you could racism, and then they're finding each other in these groups and they're getting these support. But in the street, they won't say anything to you. So it's hard to try to, like, you don't know who to talk to. If you ask the president if he's racist, he'll tell you no. You ask David Duke if he's a racist, he'll tell you no. So it's like, how do you reach these people? How do you help somebody that doesn't want to be helped? Or at least listen to logic. Do you understand that some of these conditions that you put these people in and is maybe why they're criminals and so heavily criminalized? It's a system, and it's working exactly how it's designed.
Yep. Perfect. Perfect.
I think how we move forward is people being there and confronting these issues in this system itself, being there to confront it, be at town halls, be more involved in your kids' schools. We're not going to accept to be second-class citizens. I don't have to act a certain way to be accepted by you. You know, and in fact, I don't need to be accepted by you. Just don't try to obstruct my happiness. Don't try to obstruct my life. Don't try to harm me. Don't send your police after me. Don't let me just be, and like, let me get a loan if it's like, if my credit's good. Like, let me try to advance in life. Stop trying to stop me. We can't be like, we got to figure out how to get along with people that don't like, we need to learn how to get it for ourselves and support ourselves. We need to fight that ignorance. If you're a Black person or a person of color, you are definitely feeling the effects of your skin tone and your melanin.
Oh yeah.
Why? That's not right.
No.
We need to, like, that's not right. We gotta say something about that. We gotta stand up against that.
Noam, Mahdi Bush, and Poor Majesty. Guys, thank you for taking your time this afternoon to come in and record this. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Poor Majesty performs at the Davis Music Fest on Saturday, June 22nd at Pence Gallery. The album release party for Dreamer is Saturday, June 29th at Groundswell Art in Sacramento. Gnome Nomad's new album will be released also on 5-Ohm Records. That happens later this year. And Mahdi Bush performs this summer in his Mahdi Bush for Mayor 2019 tour. So you can find this info and much more at capradio.org/insight. That's Insight for today. I'm Beth Ruriak. Insight is produced by Cody Drabble and Kate Gonzalez. Our digital team is Chris Hagen, Casey Gardner, and Emily Zentner. Our technical director is Mark Jones. Today's engineer is Antonio Muniz. Our senior producer is Helen Barrington. Insight's executive producer is Joe Barr. We're back with another live show tomorrow. Thanks for joining us.